grain of rice, a grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Okay, folks, how are you all doing out there? I know podcasts are massive at the moment. Lockdown podcasts, we have to call them at this stage. But we were meant to be joined by Mark Landers today, but the Wi-Fi in Killa is letting us down, or something is letting us down to get into Squadcast here. But delighted today, and we'd like, first of all, to say to thank you all for your suggestions and brilliant email that Larry, who's with us here on Squadcast, from Dermot Williams, talking about maybe developing the game, and I suppose it led us to ideas of maybe, you know, some counties probably there is no hope of developing the game, but there's certainly, you know, 5, 6, 7 maybe counties. I nearly put Kildare in that bracket now as well, with the population there and the bit of progress you can see coming along. So we're thrilled to be joined by Clonkill's finest and Westmead's finest, Brendan Murta. Brendan, great to have you.
How are things? Good, Anthony. Good. It's great to be here.
Good man. How are you managing in to fill in the time?
The best I can. You're limited what you can do, but I'm trying to keep busy doing a bit of training myself. I'm lucky enough to be beside a pitch that is involved with the school. I'm living beside it, so I'm inside the 2 kilometres and I'm doing a lot of running, which I wouldn't be overly fond of now, but I have too much time in my hands, so I have to be doing something, you know.
Yeah, when you get to my age, it'll be a lot of walking. And even at that, the hips to be bollocks after it.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of going that way myself. There's a lot more stretching than running being done, but I'm doing something anyway.
And if we get, hopefully we will, Brendan, are you going to hurl on with the club?
I am, yeah. Look, I had 2 good years, the last 2 years, and it's hard to just walk away from it. We're after winning the last 2 championships, so...
3 in a row.
Yeah, but we're not allowed to talk about it now, but... Yeah. You have to keep that one under wraps, but I'm nearly finished as it is, so as much as I can get, so we'll see what happens anyway. Go for it.
Edge of the square and let it into you, like, is it?
Yeah, well, the ball out to the side into space doesn't work too well for me anymore. Not as well as it used to. So I can only work with what I have, as the man says. Yeah, so the edge of the square works a bit better.
Fair play. I hope it comes off. I hope we see hurling soon anyway. As I said, Brendan, an amazing career. 17 years inter-county hurling. There's not too many can say it. Some journey. Eight club championships in the hurling, I think, and 2 in football with the Downs.
Yeah.
Why the Downs, Brenda? You don't do football in Clonkill. Why the Downs?
Well, my family is actually, my father, he would have grown up in the Downs. He was actually a chairman of the Downs for a couple of years. My family in general would have been heavily involved in the Downs. I grew up in a farm then just up the road from Clonkill. Wouldn't be that far away from the Downs, maybe 4 or 5 miles. So as Clonkill don't have a football team, the Downs was obviously going to be first choice. My whole family played with them. And we actually have a lot of Clonkill hurlers that do play football with the Downs. So we do have lads that play with St. Lomes as well in Mullingar. They would have won the they didn't win the last 2, but they won, I think, 3 in a row before that. And they're a very strong team, John Heslin, these lads. But Paddy Dowdle, that hurls at us, and Kelvin Riley, them lads. Kelvin actually played a bit of county football as well. Very good footballer. 2 very good footballers. But them lads play with Lomans. But they're kind of the only 2 from Clonkill to play with Lomans. After that, you're looking at anyone who plays football plays the Downs, you know.
And you'd obviously be very tight, Brendan. Clonkill, you can tell, you know, from anybody or talking to anyone. But like when you'd meet those boys playing Lomans, then how it'd be all bets off, lad.
Paddy's a bit of a mouthpiece now, Paddy Dowdle, so there'll be plenty of sneering going on before it. But we know each other that well. We know what's going to come. We're going to flake each other, you know, as best we can. And it's all left on the pitch and the good spirits, you know, but on the field, it'd be hell for leather, you know. There'd be no love lost between the Downs and Lomans. They'd be neighbours, you know, so.
Yeah. So, Paddy, if you get to listen to this, close it up for Paddy, 2020.
Yeah, Paddy.
He's probably not capable, a bit like myself.
Paddy, hopefully Paddy won't hear this because he'll get it. But Paddy is in, he's over with the army now for a couple of months. He's gone to Kosovo for 3 months, I think. So he's not missing any hurling as it is, but we were going to miss him for 3 months for the hurling, you know. But
yeah, okay.
He's gone over there, so I don't know what way things are over there, but sure, that's life. That's the army life, isn't it?
Yeah. And obviously, Brent, an excellent footballer. Even my great friend Desi Dolan was able to vouch for that. The football panel, Westmead, 204 Paddy. You were involved early on. What a documentary, a loaf of bread. you were checked out over the wall like a loaf of bread and all that.
Yes,
you weren't there for a finish, Brent. Why? Explain that to us.
I got involved at the start, but the Downs won my first championship. I won with the Downs in 2003, and of course, Paddy came in then, and the first thing he did was, he picked, there was a panel picked to put in front of him, but he picked a trial game of whatever 30, 35 lads that would have been there, thereabouts. I was never on a county football panel, even underage. So, anyway, I got the call up for that. And myself and Dennis Lennon was picked off that. And you know, Dennis ended up full forward in that team. Like, he was a serious part of that team, brilliant forward for Westmead for years. But that was grand. I was told, I suppose a couple of days later, I was on the panel and I was asked, had I a passport? The first thing he did was put us on a plane and brought us over to Mick McCarthy in Sunderland, training ground. And I'd say the boys were never ran like they were ran before over there. Oh, Lord, there was...
Wasn't the jolly up so in Newcastle like?
Oh, Jesus. He gave us a night out in Newcastle on the Sunday night before we came home. But the 2 days before that, the boys earned it. There was lads puking. I remember doing... I wasn't too bad because I was like... Well, he was still playing football. A lot of lads hadn't played football in months. And it was just... They were brought over there and they were dogged on Sunderland's training grounds. So... It was rough stuff. But anyway, yeah, cutting the story short, I was with him for a few months, training hard enough. Paddy was fairly direct. He was a character, like we all know what he was like. He was fairly straight. He told you what way he wanted it, and that was it. And I told him that the hurlers was looking for me to go back and play hurling with them. And he basically says, look, if you go back and play hurling, don't come back here. That was basically the message I was told. And hurling was my number one. I didn't have to think about too much, so I went and played hurling, and that was my football career for that year. It was over with the county, anyway.
Yeah, how did you feel, Brent? Like, you know, to be the obvious question, I remember myself, begging Conal Keeney every year to come back hurling. You know, I'm a serious hurler, obviously, and obviously serious footballer as well. And eventually, like, he came back in 2011 and we won the league and we got to the Ireland semi final. It was a pretty successful year in loads of ways. But then the footballers went on and won the All-Ireland. And I just texted him the night of the final. I just said, she's kind of thinking of you tonight. Like, you know, he says that I'm happy with my decision. But like, you know, feeling it a bit tonight, all right, I have to say. But for you, probably a bit different than you hadn't put in 4 or 5 years football, let's say, before that.
Yeah, no, I hadn't, and people still say to me, like, the one on and won the Leinster, like, the only Leinster that ever won, are you raging that you left at that time? And to be honest, I'm not. Hurling was my sport. It wasn't a really hard choice for me. I did like football, I enjoyed football, but you know, hurling was number one, and it wasn't. It was about, I wanted to hurl. You know what I mean? When the option was actually there in front of me, you either take one or the other. It was an easy enough choice. Like,
Paddy, not coming from Ballyduff or Kilmiley or any of those places in Kerry, had no great interest in the bit of ash.
Well, like, he wasn't impressed. Like, I remember just even asking him, like, I remember going in, Jesus, what am I going to say to this lad? You know that sort of way?
Yeah.
I went in anyway, and I knew by him, like I knew what the answer was going to be, but I had to approach him anyway. And I wasn't really missing the hurling. I was enjoying the training. The training was absolutely brilliant. Like Tomás O'Flaherty there with the football, and like the training, I was doing training I never done before, and I was enjoying it. And it was only when the hurling game started, it actually started killing me. There was, you know, I was actually missing games. And I actually asked him, look, they're not even looking for me to train. They just want me to play games, but it didn't matter. He didn't want me involved, and that was
no way by.
Yeah, it was straight. If you go and play with them, you're not coming back in that door. It was as straight as that. That's how he gave it to me. So it's fair enough, buddy.
Oh jeez, yeah. I just have to the odd time approach Sherlock Nan, being captain there for a good few years, and if somebody was in some bit of trouble, or maybe they'd been caught having a pint or something like that, and I'd be the boss, and you know, could I have a word there for a sec? Like, oh, Jesus Christ. You could be told, not alone is he off the panel, Dalo, but if you have a problem with it, you can go off the panel as well. Obviously, so brilliant. So talented at both. And was there difficulties with, you know, you'd be playing, I suppose, since the Christy Ring came in, really, the Joe McDonagh, I suppose, is more recent. The Christy Ring came in, and I think you won 3 Christy Rings, did you, am I right?
Yeah.
But, like, would there be difficulties with trying to play for the Downs, and would Championship be going ahead while the Christy Ring was going ahead, let's say?
Look, it is a few years ago, but I remember it being, like, the football was always kind of got the nod more so from hurling in Westmead. It was kind of always like that, you know. I'm probably going to be killed for saying this, but yeah. I remember playing games, and in fairness, I was lucky in a way because the Downs understood, and the Downs just felt like, let him go and play his hurling, and let him train with his hurling, and he'll be with us when he can, which was brilliant. And to be honest with you, if they weren't like that, I don't know how long I would have lasted at the football. So it was awful enjoyable to go back to a football club that understood where you were coming from.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to pull out you all the time, you know, that sort of way.
Yeah.
But there definitely was, like, especially the Christy Ring. Like, the Christy Ring was brilliant for the likes of us in Westmead. Like, it was a realistic thing that we could win. You know, we were, you know, you could have been in Division 2, Division 3, and you might have won a league, or you could be competing for leagues. But then when it came to Championship, we were never in the running for it. You know, we were just working at that standard. Where the Christy Ring, all of a sudden, there's something we could actually do and win. And the first time it came in, you were a trip to New York, you know, which is, players hear that word. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
10 days in New York, hold it to win that. But I remember playing games, and you could be playing on Saturday, and you would be playing football on a Sunday, yeah? And it just, again, I'd probably be killed for doing it, but like, it wasn't just me. Like, an awful lot, and even now, Westmead hurlers, they play football with their clubs. They all have football clubs, you know. Now, it's not like that now, but back then, definitely 15 years ago, it was like, you know, and you were being pulled from every weekend. You were definitely out twice, you know, between county, between club hurling, between club football. Like, that's just the way it was. And like, talk about player welfare, you know what I mean? That was it. You were in the thick of it, and you were playing, and that was it. You were hurt. That came with it, you know, that was part of the thing, you know?
I would say, like, whoever was over the Christy Ring, like, they just had to bite their lip, like, over the county senior hurling team, let's say. They just had to bite their lip.
Yeah.
The boys are playing Championship, and they're on. They're just put on. I mean, in Dermot Williams' very excellent email, like, he spoke about, I don't know, some county, he wouldn't really reveal to us where it was, but he said that the county board, 1 year, put on the first round of the under-21 football championship the same weekend as the first round of the Nicky Rackard. And he said they put in so much earlier in the year trying to win the Nicky Rackard, and then just the board just said, I know, we're actually going ahead with the 21 football, you know.
Yeah.
And as he said, he wouldn't have minded that clashing maybe with league games, same weekend as a league game, but with the Nicky Rackard, they just had put their heart and soul into making Crow Park, and the board just said, no, we're just going ahead with it. And then the football under-21 managers and clubs put so much pressure on. Now, it wouldn't be a Westmead where things would be nearly 50-50, let's say, maybe slightly the other way, as you'd say, but
yeah.
you know, yeah, that kind of thing went on. How would your account, who was Ovi, you'd say, when you won? Sorry, excuse me now for not remembering. I know Joe Quaid was involved last couple, Michael Ryan was involved with you. But who would have been over the senior hurling team in a football match on the following day, and maybe you'd to face out against maybe Kerry or someone to follow on Saturday again?
When the Christy Ring time, is that what you mean? Yeah. When we knew them, Seamus Quarter was there first. Now, Seamus, he was involved with Tom Ryan from Limerick. Tom was there for 2 years, and Seamus was a selector. So, like, Seamus done his hurling in Westmead, he would have known the run of it, you know what I mean? So, for him to come in as a manager, I suppose he was used to it. But that was, like, we knew no different, really. That's the way it was. It was, these were the fixtures, and you kind of had to run with it, you know, and that was it. That was, you know, that's, these games are on. Obviously, your county games are fixed, you know what way they are. And if you're playing football, you're playing football. That's it, you know. And he, in fairness, like, some lads, if he said to them, look, you're not playing with your club, like, they could have walked from the county panel. So you had to give them a little bit of leeway, and you had to, and that's just the way it was. Like, lads would have been very committed to their clubs, and might have been realistic that they could have won a championship, or they would have been up there to win a championship, and they weren't going to miss a club game.
Yeah, and sure, even for yourselves, you went on to Croke Park with the club and won the All-Ireland Intermediate. Like, so I suppose that's always, you know, the chance was there with the club as well. I suppose that time, a bit like Kerry, I would have known with Kilmiley, we would have gone into the Munster Intermediate club like that time. And you had a realistic, you used to, you know, hang the carrot there of, lads, can we bring Kilmiley to Croke Park?
Yeah.
We got off a close one year down. We played Douglas, and it went to extra time and controversial free. How there wasn't a riot in Parky Ring.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you think, though, that'd be unheard of, really, in Clare. Like, you know, what the Clare hurlers would say would be playing, there'd be no chance, like, any of the panel would be playing a league match for their club the following week if Clare were out. Now, I know, leave out the last 2 years, let's say, where we're the round robin, which is every week anyway.
Yeah, you got
a break week. But, like, even in my time, like, we wouldn't be playing, maybe we'd win the Munster semi-final, and the Munster final would be 3 to 4 weeks away. There'd be no chance of playing a club league game. Like, Loch Ann would be ruling the roost. And would it be to the detriment, would you say, of counties like Carlow and maybe Westmeath and Kildare, or let's say even Laois, like,
that
thing went on?
Yeah, well, like, the main thing, looking at it now, we're kind of in a different situation, Westmeath now. Like, we're Division 1, and we feel like we are competing. You know, we mightn't be beating the top teams, but we're up there, and we're given every chance, as the man says. We're then, like, even as a player, you're looking at, you're playing a football game tomorrow. Like, do they care about us at all? You know that sort of attitude? They really don't. They're not looking at this at all, at being serious. Like, if we were playing Christy Ring, which we actually thought, like, look, we were going to give this one hell of a go, and we felt we were actually going to go somewhere. All of a sudden, this thing was put in front of us. As you said, there was a carrot there, something realistic. And then you kind of have lads that don't really give a shit about you in a way. Like, their thing is going ahead. They have to fill out their fixtures. Their football is going ahead. You know, who...
Did you feel, sorry for cutting across your mind, did you feel at certain stages, we say, the early days, or, you know, when the Christy Ring came in or whatever, and I mean, you had that famous win against Dublin. I was actually doing commentary that day for RTE down in Port Laois. Was it 07, was it?
Yeah.
The wet day. Jeez, that was fierce excitement. But, like, did you feel... And I was at a few while I was Dublin manager. You gave Galway a couple of right rattles as well. I was that one of the ones in Cusick Park in Mullingar. Yeah. But did you feel that there was times people didn't basically give a shite about you? Like,
yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Well, it's a thing. Like, there, you have the football board, you have the hurling board, and, you know, it wasn't like they were pulling against each other, but it was clear that football, the fell footballers could do more, go further. They were getting priority. You know, that sort of way? No, again, I'm probably going to be killed for this, but that's the way I felt it was back then, you know? And it's not like that anymore, and rightly so, it's not. But back then, it was. And we had a small kind of community of hurlers. We were, you know, and that, what you're talking about, that Dublin game, the year after, that was the year after we won the Christy Ringy, got promoted into Leinster. And, the year before that, winning the Christy Ring brought us on so much as a county of hurlers and that bunch of players. Like, it's ridiculous. It's like where we were compared to before that Christy Ring even came in, and then went on and beat Down, who were high favourites to beat us that day in the first Christy Ring final, then went on to beat Dublin the year after that. And like, that never would have been done. Like, we had the hurlers there, but we never had something to win, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the whole thing changed. We got a bit of a momentum, a bit of confidence came in. We were after winning a Christy Ring, and so we went and gave Dublin a good go. Wet day, conditions probably suited us. Didn't matter, you know what I mean? So we went on to beat them, and no one would have seen that 2 years prior to that. No way. People would laugh at you, you know. So,
yeah.
Look, it was a good time for hurling in Westmeath that time, them couple of years. It was brilliant. And look, going back to the fixtures and that, it was like, if that happened now, I said to be killings. It would have been different in Clare. The hurlers would have got at that time, would they? Like,
yeah, and like that, there would still be maybe a little bit. I live in West Clare now, and there would still be a little bit that the board. Now, we don't have a football board and a hurling board anymore. We just have one county board. That used to be the way in my early days. But certainly in West Clare, they would feel the board was more hurling orientated. But then, of course, they made the great breakthrough in 92 with John Mahan. And that changed a lot of things, I think, you know. And that was before we made any break in the hurling. I remember being told, coming out of the Gaelic grounds, to go away and burn my hurlies after being inside supporting them. So I'll tell you, that was a great day. That kind of gave us the kick in the arse, I think, to maybe say, Jesus, if the boys can go and win, beat Kerry, we can go and beat a Tip or a Cork, you know, or Limerick. And so, but now, it's one board. And are you still on two boards, Brendan?
No, one board now.
That makes a huge difference, like.
I think so, yeah. I think it does, yeah. Because, they're going to be pulling against each other, really, aren't they? I felt that's the way it was. Now, I wasn't involved with them that much at all, but it kind of looked that way from the outside, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely, because, you know, we've had a couple, Malty McDonagh now would have been twice chairman in the last kind of 15 years, for maybe 3-4 years at a time, and he'd be football man for Milton Malbay, you know. So while Pat Fitzgerald has been the ongoing secretary for a long time now, 30 odd years, I suppose, and he'd be Six Mile Bridge, he'd be Davy's father. But yeah, I think we call him Collins now, the football manager, who has done a fantastic job. I mean, the Clare footballers are in Division 2 and look good before this. They were after beating Cavan up in Cavan, and, you know, Colin has done an amazing job, actually. You know, so I think there's a fair understanding that it's equal now in Clare, maybe slightly, as you said earlier, still favouring hurling slightly. But no, I think it's fair enough that now there's a whole pile of, since the hurlers kind of won our team, but more so even the 13 team, you have a whole pile of West Clare lads from football clubs hurling now with the likes of Kilmaley and Ballyea and Aina Kildamona. So that complicates things a bit, all right, when you're trying to have hurling 1 week, football next week, you know, when Clare are out of the championship and they're trying to organise. But look, they get over it anyway, and they generally, Cratlow would be the one dual club that it probably affects the most, in that they could win both of the championships, and they did do it one of the years. They won the double, but I would feel it would have hurt them as well other years, you know, and that they're trying to go, they'd be in the hurling final having lost the football semi-final the previous weekend, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, so it can be tough.
Hard week after week, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
just talking about their footballers there, should it be Westmeath last year?
That's right. I mean, they would, like, in fairness to them, they've had great results, you know, even in the qualifiers, they made a quarter final, they're beating McKerry, and, you know, so Cullum has been outstanding for them, you know. Jesus. Cullum, I'd say, could be, if he ever decides to give it up, which he does. I think is he the second longest serving football manager now after Mickey Hart since Jim Gavin gave up? So it's fair going, I tell you. And they've been hard times as well. Like, you know, when he took over, Jesus, they were nearly second from bottom, Division 4, and done an amazing job. Amazing. But yourself, Brent, now you're on the other side of the line now, county-wise.
Yeah, I'm looking in, yeah.
Yeah, how, and like, look, obviously, I was delighted you stayed up because you were very competitive in all your league games. I would have felt
yeah,
couple of bits of indiscipline maybe cost you even the first day in Galway when you were going nicely. Yeah. But even the Cork game, you know, you gave such a great rattle to them. And I was delighted that when you were in the playoff, I mean, you were in the tougher group,
yeah,
I would say, than the other group. And you have to face into that again next year, I suppose, league-wise.
Yeah.
But it was I think it was no offence to Carlow at all, but and they have made massive strides under Colm Bonner in the last few years. But I think it was fitting that she stayed up because you were so competitive in the tougher group right through.
Yeah. Like Westmeath would have to be happy enough with our league campaign. Like we felt we were, you know, we did get kind of the raw side of the draw. We got all the top teams kind of on our side. But go like our a huge thing for me and going into it was to stay up there for us to improve as a team. I myself playing again top teams, it's a different game than playing again the so-called lesser teams. You will not, the only way that improves again the top teams, you know, the speed of the game, the speed of the players, the ball, everything, you know. And for us to develop as a team, Westmeath, it was so important for us to stay up there, you know. And then like you wouldn't know what sort of way the draw will go next year. I think it's an open draw, isn't it? And like the aim again will be to stay up there. But for the likes of Westmeath, I think to really improve, I think we need to take a scalp. Like I think we do.
Yeah.
You know.
And I suppose the only possible scalp from now will be to get that Joe McDonagh one, like, and get back up there to the top level. You spoke about the importance of the Christy Ring and how much of a difference it made. And I still think, like, a complete anomaly for me last year, Brendan, was to be sitting in Croke Park with my back turned to the Joe McDonagh final with yourselves and Laois and because the Munster final was being shown from the Gaelic grounds, was it? I think it was the Gaelic grounds, yeah. And we were doing the analysis on the Leinster final and we also had to do the Munster final, but the normal guy at home and Clare, say Clare weren't in it last year, but they couldn't watch the Joe McDonagh final, do you know? That'd be one of the bugbears of mine from the top level down, that why couldn't it be played on the Saturday evening maybe in Croke? I know now you want it on before a big game as well, or why couldn't maybe the Munster final be played on the Saturday evening and the Joe McDonagh played before that even, live coverage, and the following year then that the Munster final will be the Sunday and the Leinster will be the Saturday evening.
Look, it's a day out for the boys, isn't it? Like, it's something they aim for the final. Like, you do, if it is televised, it's obviously a bonus for the boys, you know. Westmeath wouldn't have a huge support, like, as in the followers to matches. And, like, even this year, Division 1, like, we didn't. We would have a core of hurling, like, in the county, and there would be great supporters there, don't get me wrong. There wouldn't be a huge amount of them. But anything like that, any of the big games, like, it is great to be in Croke Park, great to be before the big games, the Leinster finals and all them. But as you said, like, the Munster final, and not only that, I was on the sideline, I didn't get to see the Munster final later. So,
and you'd like to, as a hurler, man,
absolutely. You know,
but my thinking on that, Brent, would be like this. You know, you're coming and you know the future has to be the youth and working on the youth that we spoke about.
Yeah.
You know, the work in Clonkale and that kind of thing. With underage before we came on the air just chatting about it. And like even for the kids in Westmeath and the say Laois last year to be able to, you know, they wouldn't be going maybe to the game, the family might be all that interest. There would be a GA family maybe, but they wouldn't make the effort or spend the money to go to Croke or whatever. But be able to sit down and watch in a form of an All-Ireland final, to be able to sit down and watch the Westmeath hurlers, would say this year, with the help of God, it goes ahead live on TV.
Yeah.
You would probably have a massive TV audience in Westmeath for a game like that.
Ah, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. I'd be surprised the whole Westmeath would be watching us if it was on telly. You know, they would have it on. Like, that's what I mean. That was my point. Like, they don't really travel. Cusey Park, yeah. You would have a good crowd in Cusey Park, but I mean, travelling outside now, you'd have so many going to Croke Park. Obviously, it's a big day out, but if them games are on the telly, the whole of Westmeath would be watching the Westmeath hurling. Same as like the hurling community, is when the Westmeath footballers are on, everyone has the football on, you know. So you do support your own. So it is, we would like them games to be televised, obviously. Now, Like, who's to say we mightn't even get to the final this year? Please God, we do. Please God, it's played. But like, if we do, we obviously we'd love that it was televised and everyone could watch it. You know.
Yeah, I think that'll be one bugbear of mine big time that's not the case, you know. Yeah. I suppose, and like, just to wrap it up, I suppose the content of Dermot Williams' email was maybe, you know, why can't we spread this great sport, which over the last 2 years has, I mean, TV figures, I think attendances, it's surpassed football nearly at this stage with the round robin in Leinster and Munster and the excitement. I mean, one of the games sticks out in my head now. Last year, obviously, be covering a lot of games with RTE and that, but was off the night of the Galway Dublin game at Parnell Park, and just went up, I suppose, with a bit of graw for having spent a few years in the Dubs, and like the magic and Parnell packed that night, and yet we've counties like that just want, you know, they just, I don't know, just complete disregard for the sport like that. You know, as I said, burn your hurleys. Yeah. Like, you know, is that just, could Croke Park do more, or do you think that's down to individual boards?
Yeah, it's hard. It's I don't know how you could improve that. Like, where do you go with it? It's like, obviously that game when you're talking about the Galway and Dublin, I think I missed it. I remember watching the replay, but it was a serious game of hurling, like, as well. And Parnell Park was wedged that night, wasn't it?
It was wedged.
Yeah, and obviously Dublin being underdogs. And, like, look at Laois and Dublin last year. Like, Port Laois was wedged. Like, games like that are special. They're special games. Like, and to be at a game like that, the game we bet Dublin in, I know it mightn't have been on the same level, but that's a game I'll never forget. You know, we took a big scalp that day. Dublin were in Leinster semi-finals, and they were thereabouts knocking on the door. And, you know, it's as a player, it's probably one of the games where we never really took a scalp. We played Galway, as you mentioned earlier, a few times. But games like that, when the underdog comes on, like, they're special, I think, you know. And especially a really underrated underdog in hurling, it happens very seldom. Like the likes of that. Like, and you know, these games should be televised. Should be, the more they can show of the sport hurling is, you know, it's a serious game to watch. Nothing really compares, you know.
My second year with the Dubs, we got knocked out by Antrim in the qualifiers. I tell you, it wasn't great being the hot favourites that day, being caught out by the underdogs.
Yeah.
I suppose overall, you know, just to touch on Dermot's email again, I suppose in some counties there just isn't any hope really that hurling will ever have the whip hand. But I really believe, like, that likes yourselves, Carlow, Laois, I think even Kildare could be a prospect, you know, with the amount of underage hurling. Like, you'll always hear it off the Dublin clubs. I know from being involved with Kilmacud for the last couple of years that when they play challenge matches, the likes of Nace could beat them, like, on any given day with the strength of them. I think they're the counties. If we could up it from, we'll say, the 9-10 contenders at the moment. That was always a great one. I used it in a few colleagues. Michael Carruth used to be involved with us, and he used to say to the Dubs, like, you're no longer pretenders, you're contenders. I know. And the Dubs did feel they were only pretenders before that, you know.
Yeah. But,
like, that message going through. And I suppose then to win a league in a Leinster, like, fulfilled Michael's prophecy, like, so.
Yeah.
If we could just say, like, I know you have a serious setup there now in terms of coaches, in terms of the backroom staff and a squad of players as well. Like, and would you feel maybe just, like, you know, get up there in the Leinster maybe and take a scalp next year would bring it on to the next level?
Yeah. And talking about the underage there, like, a lot of our panel now would have played, if you remember going back to the under 21s at the time, before the under 20 came in, to beat Kilkenny in Cusey Park. And, like, the likes of them young lads, the Doyles, you can go through it, Niall Mitchell, Dara Egerton, a lot of our panel now, them lads are coming in 23, 24 now, and they played again a lot of top teams underage and beat them on different occasions. So they don't fear the top teams. So, like, we need to take a scalp, definitely. I'd agree with you there. You're knocking on the door there long enough, and for belief in the squad, I think we need to win a big game. I think there's just it's more belief, because I believe the hurlers are there. I think a lot of lads know the hurlers are there. It's just for them to actually go and do it, and belief, and to have that belief to do it, you know. And it might bring them places then. It really, you know, you wouldn't know what will happen after that.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing, you know, for me, remembering back to my start of my clear career, like completely barren years. I wrote about it last Monday. There was no hope that we were going to win a Munster Championship game, never mind a Munster Championship. But then, as you said, this flock of guys came along when I was about 24, come out of under 21, like Jamesy, Brian Lohan, Conor Clancy, Davey. And, you know, like Jamesy often said to me, no way could he see himself going through his career without winning an Ireland. Like, do you know? So these guys, you were on about the Doyles and these lads that beat Kilkenny, and I know Dublin were massively relieved to get out. I think in the semi-final afterwards, they only barely got out with the skin of their teeth out of Mullingar, and lucky to do it. And Joe Fortune would even admit that to this day, I think. But that these guys are the guys you have to lead, make the leaders. And eventually, I might have been still the captain, and the likes of Sparrow was there, and Fergie Toohey, PJ O'Connell, these guys around my own age, and a couple of older fellas like Sir Lyons, Jim McInerney. But these guys became the real leaders, you know, the Jamesys and the Lohans, and then Sean McMahon came along maybe a year after them, and then like Savali Baker and those came along another year after them, Fergal Hagerty. And I think those guys just were fearless, in my opinion, and that was the difference for me.
Made a great team, and just going back to what you're saying, like these lads, they have that bit of a swag about them. They have a bit of boldness on the field, you know, as in a good way. They're not afraid to take on big teams. And like you mentioned it earlier on, like we did compete in a lot of Division 1 games, and we had like pockets of hurling, like at different stages, maybe for 20 minutes there. Westmead were, you know, going really well and on top, a lot on top more so. And then small things like the difference of not being used to playing Division 1, our discipline might let us down, we might make a couple of mistakes, you're punished, you're not punished at a lower level. Division 1 hurling, you're always going to be punished, you know, this sort of, but it's not until they're playing up there, and it's not until they're used to playing that day after day, that they'll learn and they'll get better. And then mistakes will stop, because they know what's going to happen when that mistake comes, you know. It's about staying there, and thank God we did. It's a brilliant thing that we got to finish our league. We were lucky to get it finished before everything was stopped, you know. It was one of the last county games, you know, the whole thing was pulled then. So thank God we did, and we're there for another year.
Great stuff, Brent. And sorry, Larry.
Yeah, before you wrap up, Dilla, can I just say there, did you read the end of Dermot Williams's email there, where he seemed to be giving you a certain amount of credit for the rise of hurling in Longford there? He says that a core group of under 14 hurlers in Longford were brought to the 97 All-Ireland final, a game I must say which I've no interest in remembering, but
it was a great day, Larry. It was a beautiful day. Two beautiful days that year, Larry.
Yes. And that experience helped to grow the excitement for the sport there, and many of the players are still playing the sport for years after. He said it was part of a twinning thing between Longford and, was it Longford and Clare or Longford and Tip? I'm not sure. But is that kind of thing still going, do you think? Or what's the...
No, as far as I know anyway, Brendan, you wouldn't be really twinned with anyone because you'd be strong enough. But these were the likes of the Longfords, maybe the Cavans, maybe the Monaghans. They were twinned, certainly. I remember talking to Donal Logue about it one time, that he said that they used to go up, you know, they might make three trips in the year, take a session. The young lads would all know them because they were on television every second week, hurling. And I think it was a great buzz. And as Dermot said, those lads hurled on for years afterwards, where now they're, you know, they're coaching and they're doing their best with the schools, the primary level. And then they're coming out, and then by under 14s, 15s, it sounded like that from reading his email a couple of times, that they were just saying, nah, no point in this, just play the football. And I think, Larry, to be honest with you, that day in 97 would inspire any young fella from any part of the world to want to hurl for the rest of his days, to see Jamesy putting over that winning score off his left. And Gerard Loughnane being behind the goal, waving it over, Larry.
Oh, isn't it just an awful pity that Lachie didn't make full contact with that one, isn't it?
Well, for the fella that was getting married the following week, I couldn't even let it out for a 65, Larry, because the wedding would have had to be called off, because look, now it's a bit of a party that way, Brendan. Wedding, getting married, cancel that. I need to give Mark O'Shea a bit of stick about party's attitude to the hurling, and I'm going to do it as well, I tell you that much, on a WhatsApp group that we're all on. But Brendan, a pleasure to have you. Just fantastic insights. Would have been a guy I would have loved to have had a pint with and discuss a lot of this over the years. We might get to it at some stage.
Sure,
a fantastic career. And look, that's my big thing. And I've said it on this, and we've said it on this podcast before, that I just think there's some places there isn't any chance of a breakthrough. But I do feel there is four or five, six places that there is a real chance that we could bring them from pretenders to contenders. And hopefully for yourselves and the likes of yourself involved now, and I know you'll probably go on to a longer coaching career as well when you get that 3 in a row done with Clonkill, you'll go on to an even bigger role at club and county level and bringing it to that next step as well, because we need people like yourself. So just an absolute pleasure to have you. Really like to thank you for taking the time. I know we've all a bit of extra time at the moment, but an absolute pleasure to have you, Brendan.
Look, a pleasure to be asked. Thanks a million, Anthony, and I really enjoyed it. And hopefully, we'll have a pint down the road at some stage.